is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spite me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. 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 Them one poison me, throw me thing up. Pass me and them girlfriend a link up. Dark way you did that when the
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Foreign Currency, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Scotiabank, Sun Oil Limited, and Tropical Gyros.
For the Cuban link off, how much ice just a her and the rings off.
Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then Fine Threads is your place. If you wanna look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Wanna step out and look great, then Fine Threads is your place. Refined style with elegant taste, then Fine Threads is your place, is your place, is your place.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
The new KFC Nuggets have arrived. That unlike the no-gets, ours are handmade using 100% white meat. Unlike the no-gets, at KFC, we hand bread every day to achieve the perfect flavor. After you try our delicious and crispy nuggets, in the original recipe, you'll never settle for less. KFC, the real nuggets. It's finger-licking good.
Back at you on the Monday, February 5th edition of Talking Heads, your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. Listen, if you're on the outside, the rain is flowing. Please proceed with caution and care. Some of the foolishness y'all try to do on these roads, with the roads being wet, is ridiculous. Small car gang, I'm talking to y'all specifically. All right, well, we're going to talk to Roscoe Thompson today. He's going to chime in short order. You know how to chime in if you have any questions. 323-6232, 325 4316 325 4259. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go. GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on. For fresh news, smart talk all day, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. All right. Let's get Roscoe in here. Roscoe, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
First and foremost, welcome back. Glad to know you're up and about and doing much better, that you could chime in today. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I do apologize.
You don't have to apologize, man. You dealt with your surgery, man. It's all good. Guys, you know that you're feeling much better, and you know,
yeah,
things on the upside for you, brother.
Yeah, that's a positive thing, my bro. A lot of stuff's been going on, and you know, I'll be honest with you, it's actually good to take a break. I know I have to deal with some of the local government stuff, but man, it's good to, I don't mean that in a way with surgery, but it's actually in a way kind of relaxing, you know, you don't have the stress of everyday thing.
I'm looking at it though, but you want to take a break. When you look at the dailies and you look at the Guardian News and Views of Madison, 1844, and you see the Minister of National Security, major headline, Monroe hopeful crime spurt soon behind us. We must stem gang recruitment. Then you hear another headline, 6 shot, 2 dead. And then 2 this morning prior to you know, the paper even hitting the streets.
Yeah, I hear there was a shoot. I'm hearing, to get confirmation, there was a shooting in Abaca last night.
Well, I haven't heard of that, but, you know.
Maybe, or from what I'm hearing or the reports that I'm getting, you know, that a guy got something with the police and anyway he got shot. He was flown out this, last night or something.
Wow. And then that's on the spate of another 2 shootings up there in Abaco prior.
Yeah, and it's scary even being here in Nassau, you know. And I know things are taking off in Abaco. I see Daphne's on the line with us, you know, in regard, you know, with the shanty towns and the issues that have come around with that.
Well, that
I miss a meeting with Clay Sweet, the minister, Sweeting, the other week they had in Abaco, which was unfortunate, but, you know, it happens.
Well, we got 2 calls now. Let's get the 2 calls out of the way. Then we can check in with Daphne, find out what's going on in Abaco, and then we'll wrap things up with you. Because I know you're in between all two, so you can speak on all two. So let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Nardi, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Remember when the prime minister's in opposition when he put those signs up?
A couple of years ago, years ago. Yeah, I know the Christie administration, but I remember it, yeah.
Remember the passion and the intensity and the vigor.
Where's that same energy now?
That energy he had when he's given that interview about the about exposing the truth.
Your guess is as good as mine, my brother.
Where's that energy?
I'd like to know.
You know, I watch a lot of World War II documentaries, and I read a lot of World War II books. And I remember when Great Britain was under attack by the German. Every night they would get bombed, and that morning Winston Churchill would get up, and he would inspire those people to get up and fight. You know what I mean? He inspired the nation, even though those people had the greatest military at the time on them. Winston Churchill still gave those people, he still inspired them to get up and fight, and every day get up and do what they need to do. You know what I mean? Where's that inspiration from our leader? From our leader.
It takes a lot to make me speechless, but they got me speechless because I'm flabbergasted by some of the responses I see and lack thereof.
And lack thereof. Mind you, the prime minister doesn't necessarily have to be up, but I'm on the streets, right? He has to image what I'm seeing. You know, right now in Nassau, not the Bahamas, Nassau is going through a crisis. You know, what he's doing, he's feeding the monkeys. He's to a Don show.
But at least hold on. At least he posed with the girls in dresses in that picture from the dance show, though. You got to give him credit for that.
Well, I want to talk about I wish his counterpart.
I can leave it just like that after that.
All right. So what I'm saying is, right, even though I don't expect you to be here all the time. You know what I mean? But where's the inspiration to inspire people to want to get up and protect our neighborhood, protect our children, protect our streets. You see what I'm saying? We have the inspiration from our leaders.
And I think this whole thing on crime, it's multilateral. It's society. It's religion. It's school. It's community. It's parental. It's governmental. I mean, all hands on deck for this, man.
Yeah, crime is a multifaceted issue. There's no one particular party that can fix it. There's no one particular sector that can fix it. It has to be dealt with straight across the board. But when we don't have the leadership, then everything goes to the wayside. And you know, we got the director of communications. He's come on. He's in the newspaper now saying that the two crime, what do you call it? The two consultants, no, we didn't hire them for that purpose. We hired them for something else. So what happened to the AMA people?
I know the Minister of National Security said that, but I do remember that the press secretary for the Office of the Prime Minister some months back saying that they would be, end quotes, in their roles as crime disruptors. I think he said it to one of the dailies.
The Prime Minister said the same also. So again, where is the leadership that inspired the Yemen people? Remember first that, where's the leadership that inspired the people in the city of Nassau to get up and want to protect their streets, protect their neighborhood, protect their families?
Where's the reassurance due to the nation that I got you covered and I will ensure that you are protected and I will ensure that you are safe?
You know, you get up and you gave a generic speech, and then you pass this generic bill that cannot be passed. You know what I mean? And then you jump on a plane to go watch the dancers. Come on, man. Anyway, I'll hang up and continue to listen.
All right, my brother. All is well. All is safe with you, too. You know, be safe out there. I know you're on the streets. Let's get to these other calls. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Hello, Shawnee. Ronnie, can I call your show?
No, I'm sorry, Sparks, man. You on the cut list, bro. It ain't me. You know, you brought that on yourself, so I'm hearing. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Hi, good afternoon, Naughty.
What's happening?
I'm doing great. You know, Naughty, I didn't know if you listened to portion of Lang's show today.
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Okay, but you know what he's saying? Everybody needs to be on board from the home. What I'm saying, Naughty, is this. How could a mother, and I'm going to just hop on the mother right now. They know their son is not working. They know their daughter is not working, but they get the most expensive shoes, tennis, jacket, phones, bringing in flat screen television, setting it up in the house, giving the mother birthday gift and Christmas gift and everything. So they are the ones who are just pushing this crime because they're cloaking their children into crime. Another thing, Naughty, someone knock on your door, Naughty, and they bring a caliper onto you, or probably say, man, give me $75 for this. You know that ain't worth $75. You go in the room, you pull out your pocket, and you purchase it. So we enhancing the crime by when we purchase these things from individuals. But if we put a stop to that, I'm not purchasing that. Show me the receipt where you purchased this for $75. And so, Naughty, a lot of homes are cultivating this crime with their children because it's no way under the sun that a child can bring you all this money and they're not working. And then another thing, Naughty, the crime, the punishment must fit the crime. Now, you got some folks out there, their hearts done hardened, like the Bible said. Their hearts done hardened. It's like a mason. You know, when you first start dealing with cement and blocks and all that, his hand is tender, but after a period of time, what build in his hand? Callous.
Get hardened. And we become desensitized as a community with a lot of these things.
And so that's the same thing. Now, we need to get in the schools, in the preschool, the primary schools, and we could salvage some of them from there, because a lot of them, the age bracket that they are and their parents, they're not getting, but the old people say, that brought you up. They're not teaching them values and morals and everything. You know, I teach Sunday school at my church from the age of 5 to 13, and I harp on them. I harp on them. I give them scripture verses that God, Holy Spirit, you take it to them and say, hey, one of them, Naughty, I love this one. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil.
Yes, sir.
And I say, he that covered the sin shall not prosper. I say, now listen to me. God can come down in the darkest room. You drop the smallest grain of sand, God can come and pick it up. See, you need to get them that awareness that God, somebody is watching. And if we don't do that, get back to the old tradition, Sunday school teaching memory verses, and hopefully on the 17th or next Sunday, week after Sunday, I'll have them come up in church saying all their memory verses and everything. So that's so important to give them the word of God, live that life before them, that they can follow and be an example. Thank you, Naughty.
All right, Javi, be safe, brother. Great contribution. All right, let me check the phone lines real quick. Naughty, why did the PM make two trips to Africa? Why not kill two birds with one stone? Canada listening in. Big up to Canada, man. Good stuff. Go grab one poutine for me and a Molson. Naughty, could you imagine how many murders it would have been if all the persons that were shot had passed away? We had 37 shot and 22 died. So, yeah. So 15 survived. Very, very, very tragic situation that is. Let's get down there to Abaco. Let's touch base with Daphne. How are you? Happy New Year. I have not talked to you in a while. Hope all is well with you and yours. You still got Daphne?
I see her online.
Tell her she got me muted, man. Tell her I hit the mute button. At some point, text her and tell her I hit the mute button, Roscoe. But like I say, a lot of people share the same sentiment. I mean, crime is out of control. It's not just here in New Providence. It is nationwide. It's throughout the archipelago. You've seen incidents in Freeport, Abaco, the other family islands as well. And that stuff, if you and I would have had this conversation 30 years ago, and I would have asked you, listen, we got women shot and killed. We got four murders for the year so far. And you would have told me, no, not in 2024. No, sir. But here we are.
Yeah, and you know, it's a shame. I've been here in Nassau, and you know, every day you hear, you know, of a murder, of a shooting, or something going down, and it's scary. Like I tell people, they say, "What do you do?" I say, "Stay home." I go, you know, get my coffee, or you know, we go grab by Wendy's or Dunkin' Donuts and come home. You know, I mean, it's scary in the fact of knowing what's going on in this country. And then, you know, these groups, I see them post that 495 murders or whatever in 5 years.
That was the worst decision ever by any political party. And it resonates every election cycle. It resonates again. It comes back to bite them in the butt.
But then you have, you know, PLP saying, oh, let's come together, but hold on. And I agree with that. We all do need to come together, but now you're saying we need to come together, but it was one party's fault before. You need to make your mind up. I mean, you can't keep swinging back and forth.
I don't think really people believe that narrative anymore, Roscoe. They know just where crime gets out of control, and when who's in office, it gets really out of control, and others, yeah, it escalates in that area.
It's affecting even when Daphne, hopefully she'll come on, but even when you look at the shanty towns, you know, and I've said this on your show, you know, yeah, it's great that we're moving them, but, you know, is there housing for the Bahamians that are living there to rent? You know, what are we going to do with all those people?
And from talking, you know, prior as well to Ms. Reckley, some of those are Haitian Bahamians. Have they been documented properly? Have they been given status?
Correct.
So on and so forth.
Correct. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be corrected and make sure. Yeah, it might be a good thing, but you knock down. Daphne says they need to let her back in.
All right, let Daphne back in for me, Mr. Producer. She got knocked out, let her back in. Let me check the text lines real quick while we wait on Daphne. Naughty, our leaders can't give us inspiration to stand against their future clients. Our wrongs have been accepted as right. The young people see and hear all. Our leaders in the home, politics, church must set the example. They do the most wrong, and we the people accept it. Long time we know better, but we refuse to do better, and we refuse to call wrong out where wrong is. All right?
Hello.
Hey, Daphne, how are you?
Glad to hear from you. I'm good. I had to go to my settings and all such.
Don't worry about it.
Zoom was messing with me.
Happy New Year and all that good stuff to you and your fam. And long time no talk, but a lot of people here in New Providence asking the big question, what is going on in Abaco with the shantytown? So please bring us up to snuff with that and what else is going on in Abaco.
Okay, well, as far as the shantytowns go, everybody knows that the notices have been put out on many houses in the farm, for instance, for sure, and other areas where houses have been constructed illegally. All the generators and equipment that was supporting these houses have been removed from the site because they were there illegally. And the persons have been given, I think it's 28 days to move. Any of the people who were found to be holding work permits, the persons who issued the or were granted the work permits have been called in or are being called in. And I believe the authorities are trying to enforce their responsibility as per their contract to provide housing for these people.
So that's where we're at. That's the latest.
Well, that's where we're at. And as to how many houses are demolished or when they have, no, well, they haven't started actually because the 28 days isn't up yet. But, you know, this is not an easy fix. And tearing down the houses is not going to necessarily solve the problem. The other thing that is happening too is that property owners or leaseholders of property that have violated their lease by subletting property to these persons are being also called in. And it is my understanding that they will be fined or prosecuted to whatever extent, I'm not sure. But they are the persons who are creating this problem. The fact that we have so many persons living in these conditions is only because there is a need. If people were not hiring them, if Bahamians, homeowners, you know, people who are resident on the island were not hiring them and they were not earning an income, they would not be here. So that is a part of the problem that has to be addressed, not just tearing down the houses and making them scramble to go find more material to go build someplace else.
Because that was going to be my next question. If they don't have proper lodging after being displaced,
where
are they going and what's going to start up again?
Exactly. So the authorities, I believe, are trying to work within the parameters of the law, as in, you know, violations of leases, as in work permit holders. They're trying to enforce the law wherever they can to help to resolve the situation. But the fact of the matter is, house with a house or without a house, those people will go out and still be employed and paid by someone. And those people who are employing them and paying them are the reason, one of the main reasons why we have this problem. Now, government has to address this. Bahamians will be the first to scream and shout about, well, the government doesn't help us. Why should they help them? Bahamians first. Well, if Bahamians were cleaning their own yards and building their own buildings and doing the work that the Haitians and the other illegals were doing, we wouldn't have the problem. So let's not point the finger at government or the neighbor. Look at what we're doing ourselves. It starts with us. You understand?
I'm totally with you. I mean, I just wish other people would know what you all are going through, and that's why it was important to hear from you today, because people here in New Providence think, okay, good, they're knocking down the shantytowns. But then, like Roscoe, the point he raised earlier, you are already in a situation where you didn't have enough housing or lodging for nurses, teachers, police officers, firefighters. So if you haven't got those beds or those spaces available for those workers, where are the displaced residents and foreign nationals going to go?
Yeah, I mean, that is precisely the point.
And I just want to reiterate it, Daphne, so people could realize this. And like you say, it's a process. It's not a quick fix.
Right. And Abaco, you know, after post-Dorian, you have to remember that a lot of our Bahamian local resident workforce evacuated the islands and didn't necessarily come right back because they didn't have their own homes. They didn't have places to live. So it opened a void, created an opportunity for those persons more desperate and more agreeable to live in certain conditions to fill that void. And Abaco and the islands would not have rebuilt as quickly as it has without that force, that labor force. So we have to, this is not just a one-off problem. This is a very, complex problem.
There's layers to this onion.
Layers to this onion. And before we get to that sweet heart of the onion.
Right.
Okay.
You could cry a little bit.
Burning. There could be some eyes burning. Okay. So,
but at least the process has started, though. I think if people could understand what the process is going to be, I think it'll be a little more palatable, especially now that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, the process has started, and what it is demonstrating, and the thing is, the government has to stand strong on what they say they're going to do. That's the most important thing, because it needs to send a message to those who are still trying to get to our borders, because as it's been for years, eons and eons, and administration after administration, where they turned a blind eye to this, in particular the Haitian community, they feel like they're above the law. They could get away with anything they want. So that doesn't stop the drayloads of new people trying to come to our shores. We've got to stand firm on not allowing reconstruction again, which is an opportunity that was lost after Dorian. But because we had such a great need, everybody turned a blind eye. Now the blind eye has come to punch us in the face. Okay? So now we have to enforce the law of the persons who are supporting this. They got to be enforced, not just the illegal.
No, okay. I agree with you, Daph, and we've been saying that for a long time because it's a very complex issue there. And before you came on, I was saying that to Naughty, is that, you know, in 28 days, they knocked down 200 houses, and let's just say that's, I'm just going to use a number, 300 people, which we know it'll be more than that. But where are those people, you know, where are those people going to actually go? And I do agree with the government, something that I've been saying, target the people with work permits that have people here with work permits, because they're responsible for their lodging and their NIB. So that's one way you can eliminate a lot of that down there. But also, as you said, I'm glad to see, and let me say this, I'm glad to see the action taken. It's just a matter, is there going to continue and are you going to prosecute these people that actually lease the land out to the foreigners, because you know it's against the law. You're on agricultural land. You can't sublease that land. You can't do anything.
If you
I do agree with you. We have to take responsibility to a certain extent in regards to who we hire. Are they people here? Are they supposed to be here? Do they have papers? What?
Listen, they're filling a gap. They're filling a need. They're filling a need. If they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't be here. They'd be someplace else. That's the facts. Those people who have violated their leases, they need to have their leases revoked, because the fact that they have violated them, and if they don't send that message across, then it'll continue.
Because a lot of people don't realize if they got a notice on their house, I'm just saying, I don't know what's going on, but they're probably already scoping another piece of property somewhere to where they could build. Because
of course,
I can tell you, Ministry of Works does not know where all the shanty towns are, and there's some places with two and three buildings that they have no clue. They're targeting one area.
Listen, they got drones. Listen, Roscoe, they got drones. If they want to know, they'll know. They could drone this whole island, and they'll know where all of them are.
Daphne, okay? I agree with you, but the drones were done by locals. They can't even get the drones up in the air here in Nassau, correct?
Off and on.
Well, if they can't get them up, they could find people who can get them up. There's no excuse.
The drones need...
But my thing is, and I'll let Daphne wrap up, but Naughty, the thing is this government, and I, you know, going back to the crime, don't blame the former administration or the former, get off your butt and start doing something about it. Whatever it may be, some drastic measures have to take place for this to stop.
And on
because
the,
what, What's going to happen?
So on the point of crime, I'm going to break in here. On the point of crime, again, I go right back to us as a people.
I agree.
Mothers and the fathers and the brothers and the sisters who are cloaking. I mean, look at that grandmother and that child that just got killed the other day for cloaking an illegal. If you are going to continue to support and cloak illegal activity in your family, that's where the problem is. We got to get to where the problem starts.
I agree with you and the family, and that's why I say it's going to take a couple generations to get this. If we have any chance, it's not going to be an overnight fix. But we need some strides taken against this and what's happening. For an island this size or for a country with this many people, I mean, it's a scary thought. I just hope that this administration, you know, in the next couple of months does something that deters or whatever it may be. Yes, it starts in our family and our educational system, which I said in a group. I agree with that. But it's going to take a long time to fix. But we got to get started now to get.
But Roscoe, I don't know about you, but I think that I see that the police are becoming much more active and much more visible. And I think that the minister has a definite push to fix this problem.
And I hope so. But as I was going to say earlier,
I feel very confident from what I hear and see from the minister. Now, I don't know about the nation.
But
nationwide.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Once I see action and I see that resolve and something is being done, that is great. But you still, we continue to talk about it. We continue to put things up. And yes, it's not just a F&M, PLP, COI, DNA, Inugo, Daphne, Roscoe. It's an all problem. It's not.
Yeah, crime doesn't have a political color.
Right. But whoever is in power at that time, they have to make changes and amendments or whatever it may be to help curb or correct what is going on in this country.
You're being very optimistic to think it could only take a couple of generations. It's going to take a lot more than that. We got to start from the babies.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I say a couple of generations. You know, it's going to take a long time. Anyway, I'm going to let Daphne wrap up with you, Naughty.
All right.
It's great. I'll be back on next week. I just want to say thank you for having me. I'm glad that I'm, you know, back with you, and we'll get Abaco.
We're glad to have you back, man, and get Abaco up and running every Monday.
Happy to get you back in Abaco too, Ross.
All right,
Ross, be safe. Take care, man. Daphne, good to hear from you.
Wrap up with Daph. Thank you.
Yes, so Naughty. I just want to touch on the Ministry of Works meeting that Roscoe missed. I think that this minister, Clay Sweeting, he's got fire up under his. You know what? To get something going and to get things moving in Abaco. It was a very, very well attended meeting, and he had all the necessary people on the panel. He answered every question. You know, Minister Pinder was there, Cornish, the police, they were all there. And I already see where, you know, they are fixing the drains. They're going to be putting in some infrastructure in the drainage system on the island, which was a problem that I really had post-Dorian. You know, there's a lot of debris still in those drains that need to be cleared out. I understand they're going to be cleared out. Roadworks had been commenced and stalled. Now it's moving. They're moving forward with some of the necessary roadworks. And I just feel that there is new energy. I'm seeing more buildings that have been sort of sitting for a long time. They are now also being, you know, built, rebuilt. And I was very happy in recent months, well, maybe weeks, I wouldn't say months, interaction with visitors who hadn't been here for a couple of years were amazed and commending us as a community on how well things were looking. So from the visitor, you know, as a local, especially I'm a very critical person, so I'm looking at things always from the sort of more negative, what's wrong. They are looking at what's happened, what's done, what's improved. And that was very encouraging to me.
So I think you're on the way. I mean, and I'm glad you're getting attention in Alaco from Mr. Sweden. I'm glad to know that because we still got some potholes up here, but we're trying to deal with it, but that's all right. Once Alaco getting some attention, I'm not mad at all.
No, and our police force is very good about them. They seem to be a no-nonsense force, and they're doing roadblocks. They're being more visible. I mean, there was a time where I didn't even see any on the road. Now they're there. So, you know, just being more visible and taking more action, and they seem to be working a little bit more closely as a unit with, like, the Defense Force, Immigration, and the police, working in unison rather than one going out and the other going out, and, you know. So I'm encouraged. I'm not saying there's still a lot more that has to be done and a lot more that we want to get done.
But the ball is rolling.
But the ball is rolling, and that is the most important thing, that we can feel more positive. You know, before this summer comes, we should have realized some improvements to our infrastructure. The dump is the one pet peeve that still, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but they've got to manage the dump. They're still burning the dump, curing it, or monitoring it. So one of the problems, Naughty, is when they tear down and demolish homes and all the building materials get taken to the dump, the trucks load up at the end of the day and they carry the stuff right back out into the bush. So until they fix the security at the dump and manage that, unless they're going to burn all the materials, we're just furnishing, you know, more material to be refurbished and repurposed and rebuilt. So that's one area of concern that I'm going to agitate for more security and management of.
Well, good stuff. Glad to hear from you, Daphne, and we look forward to hearing from you next week on Monday again.
Well, next week, Monday, I will be out of the country. So
we'll hear from Roscoe and Miss Reckley, and then we'll see you here from you the following Monday.
Yeah. Okay, honey, but I'm happy. Thank you so much for
And I'm glad you guys are back up and running, and we can get Abaco back out there and get it where it needs to be.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Love.
Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
Be safe.
You too. Take care now. All right. Good stuff, everybody. We appreciate Daphne. And we'll get to the break. Flip side of the break, we'll get into the news. On the flip side of the news, we'll be in the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll be talking sports. Pearlie will be in the building. It's Super Bowl week. Boy, I tell you, the countdown is on.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Just because they were cheap, Keisha bought things that she really didn't want. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get the new Kentucky Crunch Sandwich with a juicy KFC chicken filet, fresh lettuce, and the perfect amount of mayo topped with a fluffy sesame seed bun for just $5.75. Order your new favorite sandwich online with Messenger or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. KFC knows value. It's finger-licking good.
Foreign Currency brings you the African Giant live in concert. Burna Boy! Burna Boy performing live! Saturday, February 17, taking place at Clifford Bar with Burna Boy performing live! also performing Rich Homie Quan, 38 Afri, Joe Capone, Bax Civelli, Ratty Pinder, Bloody, Fat Shot, Puzzle, Judah the Lion, and Jay Shepherd. Hosted by Natural Empress, Rika C, Pencil, and Aaron Rain. Music by the country's top DJs, Overdose, DJ Tan, DJ Hennessy, DJ Mad Bull, AJ Unruly, DJ Melody, Spilling the Gate 2024. Saturday, February 17th at Clifford Park with Burna Boy. Get tickets now. The name of the game is to be on the scene.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Is brought to you by BTC, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Foreign Currency, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Scotiabank, Sun Oil Limited, and Tropical Gyros.
Back at you right here on the Monday, February 5th edition of Talking Heads. We're into the 5 o'clock hour, so you know we're talking sports. We got Purdy zoomed in. What's going on, brother?
In this corner, man. In this corner.
So you, I didn't get to see you, man, since I don't know. You had a good time? You enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, man, I had a good time. I really enjoyed L.A. L.A. was really funny. The girl was, she was okay, but the guy, he was really funny.
It's kind of hard to follow me, so you can't blame them. You can't blame the middle lock.
You like how I say Minnesota, right?
And you see, I had an answer for Minnesota too, right?
I started to say Tippinam Nassau, but I said I would put you in that.
You didn't think you was gonna get what you got when you said Minnesota, though, hey?
Yeah. You were good. You were real good. Yeah.
A lot of people don't expect that one. I can't wait. If it's out of Minnesota or Wisconsin, but that joke coming. You hear what I saying?
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
But anyway, we got lots to talk about. Let's get today in sports history out of the way. All brought to you, of course, by Naughty Johnny's.
All right.
And then we'll check out the local scene, and then we'll go international. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But on this,
a lot of things happen on this day in sports history, way early. My God, February 5th. On this day in sports history. 1943, Mervyn Rad Dutton was named the new NHL president. Frank Carr. 1950,
that's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a quick. Yeah, well, obviously it was pressing. Dick Irvin, 1950, Dick Irvin of the Montreal Canadiens became the first NHL coach to win 500 games. He ended his career with 690 wins.
Wow.
So he started off like Barrasco, but the back half wasn't too good. 190. 1972, Bob Douglas became the first black man elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. 1977, Sugar Ray Leonard won his first pro fight. He beat Luis Vega in six rounds. 1988, the first time in 30 years a wrestling match was aired in primetime. Andre the Giant beat Hulk Hogan in the match. That was on Saturday Night Main Event. You know, I remember watching that. 1989,
I probably remember watching that too.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar became the first NBA player to score 38,000 points. 1990, NBC TV obtained the television rights to all of Notre Dame's home football games for the next 5 years. Notre Dame was the first school to sell its games to a major TV network.
1990. That's amazing, huh?
Yeah, Notre Dame, they do that because they're an independent. You know, they don't belong to any real conference.
No, the point that they're able to, I mean, NBC can take that unless it's a profitable thing. But yeah, to get a deal with a school like Notre Dame, that tells you the weight Notre Dame carries.
And that was back in 1990, so just imagine.
The real talk.
1991, Dave Taylor of the Los Angeles Kings became only the 29th NHL player to score 1,000 career points. 1994, Peter Bondra of the Washington Capitals became the 10th player in NHL history to score 4 goals in one period. 1997, Mario Lemieux of the Pittsburgh Penguins became the 7th player to score 600 career goals. 1999, Mike Tyson was sentenced to a year in jail for assaulting 2 people after a car accident on August 31st, my birthday, 1998. Tyson was also fined $5,000, had to serve 2 years of probation, and had to perform 200 hours of community service upon release. 2003, Bobby Knight of Texas Tech coached his 800th victory. 2003, Mike Modano of the Dallas Stars got a 600 career assist, making him only the second American-born player to get 400 goals and 600 assists. Jeremy Renick was the first American-born player to achieve that feat. 2006, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Seattle Seahawks 21-10 in Super Bowl XL. Again, Pearly, remind me. It was the 5th Super Bowl victory for the Steelers. Jerome Bettis announced his retirement after the game. 16?
I can't remember what L is.
Yeah, me neither. I know X is 10, but boy, I tell you. When you're playing, here's your quote of the day. When you're playing for the national championship, it's not a matter of life or death. It's more important than that. Duffy Daugherty.
Yeah, former coach. Sounds like something you could say.
Yep, there you go. Well, that's your wrap right there on today in sports history. Let's check out the local scene, all brought to you, of course, by Burger King. And don't forget, they got the great breakfast deal going on. The crust sandwiches with sausage and cheese, 2 for $5.75. At your favorite Burger King location, make it a part of your breakfast run. All right, so let's look at the local sports scene. A lot of leagues getting back in. We had some local flag football teams go off and do big things. They promised to return on Thursday, Spurley, but they've been traveling and beating up people in foreign.
You mean say flag football?
Yeah, the
Muffy gone away. I tell Muffy she used me, and then she gone away, and then come back and say nothing, even didn't bring no coffee back.
No, relax. They have promised to come in and get you all caught up with the youth league and with the adult league.
I ain't worried about that piece. They mad they going all the way to Texas. They ain't bring me no coffee.
Anyhow, you and your coffee. But most leagues back in the swing right now. Baseball underway doing big things. Like to see what's going on in that senior division, letting both leagues play out there at the stadium. That's a good look. Both JBLN and Freedom Farm underway with baseball, girls softball as well. What about that track and field? Any more fallout from that, Pearly?
No, apparently they're actually having the track meet. I think it's March 6th, 7th, and 8th, or 8th, 9th, and 10th, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So they worked out the differences, and there'll be a BAIS track and field championship.
Good. Now if we could get the pool fixed and get the swimmers on a level playing field.
But the only thing about that with me is, I don't know, but I think a lot of the coaches won't allow their athletes to participate in a number of events.
Right.
So I think what's going to happen is it's going to water down the event. So, you know, we're having it just for the sake of, but we're not giving us the quality. We're not going to get the quality of entertainment or the quality of track and field that we used to. And that's the problem I have.
Right.
But anyway, Actel is 40, just in case you wanted to know that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciated that. Thank you so much. That helps immensely.
Yeah, I was getting arrested. Then I remember what that was.
Me too. But I'm glad you helped me out. I'm glad you picked up on that you know, on that flair, on that SOS yeah. call. All right, now we can slide into Who's In, Who's Out. All brought to you, of course, like I said, by Tropical Gyros. Be sure to check them out, both locations. Flagship store over there on Mackey Street, open until 6. And the newest location out there, R&D Plaza, JFK West, open until 8.
I'm going to get a solid today. You just jones me up for that solid.
Yeah, I know how you go. But boy, we got to talk Super Bowl there, Pearly.
But before we talk Super Bowl, I'm excited to hear that Kai Jones is there at the training camp for the Bahamas national team. I'm very excited about that. Congratulations. Glad to hear that.
Yep. Glad to see where that goes. Wishing him the best.
Yep. So that's something cool. You know. So we'll see how it goes there.
And then, speaking of NBA, if you want to just stay NBA, do that. I don't know.
As a Laker fan, you know, yesterday, my son and I had a massive argument. My son told me I'm being excommunicated as a Laker fan because I'm criticizing my team too much.
Dad, Junior, you don't want Uncle Naughty come over to the house.
Say, we got to get rid of Darvin Ham. Say, he's the problem, not LeBron. Say, Darvin Ham is the real problem.
Anyway, tell nephew, I'm thoroughly disappointed that I have to say this on radio, that he has some brunt sexual tendencies that I need to talk to him about.
No, but he's not a brunt sexual. He's not a LeBron fan, but he doesn't think that LeBron is the major problem in the LA League. He does think that we need a better coach.
Anyway.
He said, Daddy, look at it. He wasn't playing Austin Reeves last year. Until LeBron and AD went down, he was forced to play Reeves, and he's not what Reeves got to offer. He's not coaching right. He's not. Tell me what he's done. I said, okay. I said, what LeBron done? We got a championship. I said, in the bubble, it's still a championship, Daddy.
On the back of AD though. AD put in major work to get that title too. So don't sleep there.
It's because of LeBron. AD's there. If LeBron go AD, man. I say, I'd rather get rid of LeBron now. Let's get some picks to pick up some things. I say, because once LeBron go, we can be a dud team for about 4 or 5 years.
Jared Vanderbilt out, diagnosed with a midfoot sprain, reevaluated in 3 to 4 weeks, so he's done for 3 to 4 weeks. The trade deadline is approaching 3 days away, and I don't know if we're going to do anything. We managed to do something last year. I don't know if we get to do it this year.
I don't know what we could do. I think they were trying to get Zach LaVine, but LaVine is gone for the season, so what else is there?
No, I still think they're trying to get DeJounte Murray.
That'd be cool. But you want to give up Murray now with D'Lo starting to play good ball. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Got to get something, bro. Got to get something. And I know even if we make additions, we're not a championship.
He may have a good argument about getting rid of Ham. He may just have a good argument. I'm going to just think about that and evaluate that.
Gabe Vincent going to return in March? I don't know, man. I don't know. This team... Even if they get it together and get into the playoffs, how much of a cohesive unit from playing together are they going
to
be?
They were to make it together before that. So if they were to put the game together and make it to the sixth or fifth position, that means they've gotten it together. And they're not that far out. They're only but 2 wins out, you know. I think they got 20, if I remember correctly, they're only but 2 wins out of sixth place.
Listen, I'm going to reserve comment until after the All-Star game. And then I'll pick it up and see what they do. But right now, I see more of the same old, same old. I see more of the same old pattern with LeBron, too.
Credit where credit due. The Lakers look extremely good against the Celtics. And albeit they beat up a depleted Knicks team, but the Lakers pretty much got some injuries, too. And they were able to beat the Knicks team.
Now, you got to look at who do they play?
The Lakers got 26-5.
And hold on.
The number six place, they got 29 wins. So they only 3 wins out.
Their next 5 games, the Hornets, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Pistons, the Jazz. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They could go 4-1, 5-0 in those 5 if they use their head.
They can.
Then, there's more. It's followed up by the Warriors, Spurs, Suns, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. The Lakers already won 2 straight. Over a 12-game span, the Lakers could end up 10-2 and be in a way different situation than where they are.
Yeah,
the Clippers seem to have their number, and I got the Nuggets there. But they could beat everybody there. They could beat the Wizards, too. Then it gets tough, though, in March. The Nuggets, the Thunder, the Kings, the Bucks, the Timberwolves, the Kings, the Warriors, the Hawks, the Sixers, the Pacers, the Bucks. So they got a gauntlet to run in March.
It's a gauntlet to run in March. Hopefully, Gabe will be back. Vanderbilt will be back. They'll be at full strength.
They play the Bucks twice in March.
I think the Lakers will be a much better team defensively once Gabe Vincent comes there.
They play the Bucks twice in March. They play the Timberwolves. They play the Kings twice. Yeah, but
I don't think, but you know.
Now, the good thing about it is they end against the Raptors, the Wizards, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, the Warriors, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans. Out of them two, four, six, last seven games, I tell you, it could be a dogfight, but they got to do what they got to do.
Teams that be about to play ain't looking like much. The Bucks don't look good at all.
We'll see.
I think they're a bunch of pretenders in the East.
But I'll tell you something as we slide out of basketball, because you know we got to pick this up after the All-Star break. We have to.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. Kansas City.
Go ahead.
Kansas City with a big signing. They signed Bobby Witt Jr. to that extension.
That's good. They needed to do that. He's the heart and soul of that team.
And looks like, they gave him a good deal. Looks like it works for everybody.
Bobby Witt is a really good player. I was hoping that the Dodgers were lucky trying to get him last year.
No, well, I'll tell you now, that makes it easy for people to try to get him because now he has a contract, $288 million, 11-year deal.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
Considering small market team.
That ain't bad. Considering that $28 million a year, that's not bad money.
And it allows them to spend, too. And it allows them to spend, too.
Yeah.
But he's going to make a lot of money, man. He's going to make, he's going to only make $2 million this year. But in 2025, it bumps to $7 million. Then 2026, $13 million. 2027, $19 million. 2028, $30 million. 2029, $35 million. 2030, $35 million. 2031, $35 million. And then he's got player options. So he could actually be like a Barry Bonds. If he's long in the tooth, he could put them player options post-retirement and get paid.
Yeah, but what he's doing is in signing that contract is to make harder to trade him. But by the time that contract expires in 2028, 30 million might be a good salary considering the money going down.
He's some team wants to take him on. He'll still be in good shape.
Yeah.
Because 33 is not old for a baseball player.
No, that's not.
So, and it gives the Royals an opportunity to sign other pieces. But boy, I tell you, to see them go in like this with him, eventually I think if it really gets horrible in Kansas City, they'll jettison him for pieces because the contract, like you say, later on, it still will be palatable.
Yeah, it would be.
Because if you get him in, you could actually renegotiate that contract as well. So we'll
see.
That's
cool. I like that.
But now you got this circulating. Oh, God, I missed this.
So what was the trade that we did with you guys?
With the Yankees and the Dodgers?
Yeah, Caleb Ferguson. That was an earlier trade. Did I miss that?
I think we all might have missed that one.
All right, so the Dodgers, there's a trade for Caleb. You guys got Caleb Ferguson. Now, we make that to free up some space on our roster.
But, I mean, where's Caleb Ferguson going to play? What you call it? Brazier, right?
Like day right now, what we got?
Yeah, Dodgers trade Caleb Ferguson to Yankees, Inc., Ryan Brazier.
We got Dodgers have made another trade with the New York Yankees, this time sending left-hand reliever Caleb Ferguson out. The New York Post, John Heyman.
But we need some relievers, too. So I'm not mad at that.
But that's a good pickup for you. He's a good pitcher. He's a solid pitcher. He's a solid pitcher.
Yeah.
That means we're about to do something because, we're about to do something.
Something coming.
And you send us prospects. That's a 40-man roster spot we gave up, and you guys gave us prospects to send down some more pieces to do some of the Dodgers up to something else.
Yep. And then, of course,
because that's a left-hand reliever for us to trade him. That leaves us to only two left-hand relievers. When you get our Alex Vessier and the one we picked up, the kid we picked up late in the season, Yarbrough or something like that. And Yarbrough was like if somebody pitched for one or two innings and have a bad, he's a long reliever. Yabba's not a shot, so we only have one short reliever.
Well, watch out for them. Watch out for the White Sox. They got Gregory Santos, and they got a big prospect in Christian Mena. A right-handed prospect, Christian Mann, is no joke.
Okay.
So look and see there where that goes.
Well, the Dodgers are going to make another move. They're going to make another move.
All right, let me check this one here. Naughty and Pretty, why do the Lakers get up for those big teams who play on national TV but play lousy against those other teams? That's because LeBron is taking load management and AD is taking load management, and at the end of the day, those little games add up. That's why you're 26 and 25.
But listen, they doing this load management. Be careful because the NBA getting sharp.
Getting
on that
sharp with that. Yeah, only one superstar a game, and you got to be able to play, sit out as many as home as you do on the road, all type of stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But like I said, the Lakers still got a lot of issues to deal with, man.
We'll see how they go.
And the Hornets, I mean, they should win this game tonight, handily.
They should. And LeBron made this. He says, you know, it doesn't make sense to coming up with these two big men if we can lay an egg against the Hornets. We can't take them for granted.
You have to over and repeatedly. Those kind of games, you must win.
Yep.
You must. Yep. You must. It can't be no ifs, ands, or maybe. Now listen here. We got a big game coming up on the weekend. The Super Bowl. You ready to talk some of that, Pearly?
Before we go to the Super Bowl, I want to talk about the move that the Washington Commanders made in the offensive coordinator.
Let's talk about that. Mr. Producer, I just sent you something real quick to play before the final 15. A good take on Chris Long. Is talking about Kyle Shanahan's Super Bowl nightmares in the fourth quarter. So we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, let's talk about the situation in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury was in exile, took a year off sabbatical from the Cardinals' job, was supposed to sign with the Raiders, and pulled out of the deal and took the deal with Washington because Quinn offered him a 3-year contract instead of the Raiders giving him a 2-year deal.
I'm hearing that, but I'm also hearing another rumor that Caleb Williams doesn't want to go to Chicago. And he wants to come to Washington, and that's one of the reasons why they brought that guy.
How could it be as Washington to try load up and trade up for Caleb Williamson? That's bad. That's bad gambling right there. Everybody know what you're after. So now they can make the price go up.
No, it's not that Washington. Caleb Williams may pull a John Elway.
Or Eli Manning.
He may pull a John Elway and say, if I don't go here, I ain't gonna play.
Ah. Well, where's Washington in the draft order? Let's have a look.
I think they're number 2, are they, or 3?
No, Washington's... No, man. Washington, I don't even know if the draft order is complete yet.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
All right. NFL draft order. 30 of the 32 first-round picks locked in. Obviously, the last two will be decided on this weekend. You will pick, you know, last and second to last. But you have the Bears picking first. Oh, wow. The Commanders are actually picking second.
Yeah, I told you that. Yeah.
So guess what? To be honest with you, if they want to stay with Justin Fields, then they don't pick. They go wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., to give him that stud receiver he needs.
Well, they love to say that. But, you know, Washington may make a move to get that pick because they think they want Caleb Williams.
Right. And it's not too far to jump from 2 to 1 with Chicago. That's something right there. New England at number 3, Arizona at 4, Chargers at 5, Giants at 6, Tennessee at 7. Nobody claiming a quarterback. All right, the Falcons, they're looking for a quarterback at number 8. And the Bears have the 9th pick as well. The Bears have the number 1 and the number 9 pick. Can you imagine that? And they're about to get richer because they'll probably flip with Washington and gain some more collateral if Washington wants to move up and draft this quarterback.
Yeah.
See what happens there. And Dan Quinn being in the situation with Dak Prescott might think of the same thing right there.
Well, he took your Yeah, one of your players, he's defensive coordinator, is the Cowboy, right?
Pardon?
Didn't Dan Quinn take somebody from you guys to make him his defensive coordinator?
Yeah, he took Joe Witt as the passing game, defensive passing game, you know, coordinator. He took him to be his defensive coordinator. Hey, big up to Hans and the crew. Got it locked and loaded up there at Sea Grape Liquors up there in the East, man. Hans, we figured out the Roman numerals. I appreciate it, though, bro. Nonetheless, big respect.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, man. But listen, so yeah, you got to look at the moving and shaking there.
Yeah.
And then there was something very interesting that came up today as we talk Super Bowl. And if you look at some other components before we get to this, Dallas looking for a defensive coordinator. Mike Zimmer's name has been popped up again and repeatedly. But Jerry says he's going big with this hire, so you never know what's going to happen there. He also says he's going to make some big moves, so we'll see what happens in Dallas. Jerry may actually shove all in. And when they did some breakdowns of a Dallas salary cap situation, if we extend Dak and we make a couple of right moves and cut a couple of people like Michael Gallup, we'll be looking at $89 million in cap space, Burley. That is enough money for Jerry to go all in if he wanted to go all in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's have a listen, Mr. Producer, you got it lined up. Chris Long with Rich Eisen. And they're talking about Kyle Shanahan's Super Bowl fourth quarter nightmares, as you know, in Atlanta. And previously with the 49ers. Tremendous leads in the Super Bowl. Can't seal the deal. Will this be a reoccurrence again this Sunday in this year's Super Bowl? Let's go to the clip right now, Mr. Producer. Thanks.
And I just mentioned in the fourth quarter of that game, no points for the Falcons offense. In the fourth quarter of the previous Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the Niners, no points in the fourth quarter there. And that's part of the story for Kyle Shanahan coming into this game. Is there anything of that fourth quarter 7 years ago today that you were on the defensive side of the ball and the play calling that we saw there and maybe the play calling that we saw 4 years ago last Friday in the previous Super Bowl? Is there any through line that you think might affect what we see this coming Sunday, Chris?
28-3, you know what I mean? And I don't think anybody's going to be building some big lead. I really think it's going to be a good football game. I definitely lean Chiefs, but I think about the fact that a week ago, getting off script a little bit here, Dan Campbell got burned by those fourth down decisions, you know, like, and people made a big deal about it, like making bad decisions, blowing a 17-point lead. And I actually don't think they were the worst decisions in the world, okay, like because of what we talked about on the show last week. We don't need to go backwards. But the point is, Kyle Shanahan has been in a similar situation on a bigger stage. And I think it's pretty remarkable that he was able to get back and then now get back again. And I know, I'm sure he came out of that game and at least in part blamed himself. I know Dan Quinn's the head coach at that point, but when you're up 8 points with about 4 minutes to go in plus territory, matter of fact, you're in on like the fringe, I believe you're like 30, 25 yard line. I can't remember, but they end up giving up a sack and a hold and that knocks them out of field goal range. They're throwing the football. And so I don't know how Kyle thinks about that. You know, I don't know if Kyle thinks about it in a different decision he made last week and he's steadfast in the fact that this is who we are. We go for it on fourth down. We remain aggressive. But that wasn't even an aggressiveness thing. I think had they kicked the field goal in that situation, there's no chance we win that game. They go up 11, about 3 minutes to go in a Super Bowl. So I felt for Kyle, even though it's why I have a ring and I have a lot of respect for him. And I respect what San Francisco has been able to build to get back there again now. And so, you know, look no further than Kyle Shanahan. You want to talk about your happiest dream and your worst nightmare, it's the same opportunity. And he's had a couple nightmares here. And like the ante just gets up when you go a third time as a coach. And, you know, I really feel for him, but there's a lot on the line.
Catch the Rich Eisen Show every single day on the Roku.
There you go. And remember, Purdy, Long was actually a member of the New England Patriots that year, remember? Then he went to the Philadelphia Eagles later on and won another Super Bowl.
You're correct. You're very correct.
But obviously players know coaches' track records. At some point, if that offense stalls in the Super Bowl, do you think the 49ers say to themselves, oh boy, here goes Shanahan again?
That's interesting. But that would, I don't think it would cost him his game.
But Purdy, you and I talked about it, and I'm glad Chris Long said it. If they get that field goal, he said it himself, the Patriots don't win that football game.
Well, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
Yeah, but I've been seeing it for the longest. I remember that drive. I mean, like, why did you go for it? You may as well kick the field goal.
When the score touchdown onside kick, get the ball back. You don't know that.
That is true. But nonetheless.
You know, they're saying if can't buy the game, they might have changed the direction of the game.
That's fine. That would have been a different, yeah.
The boys that they would have called him the most brilliant coach and the gutsiest coach in the world.
Yeah, that's true. I can't run from that either. You know how the media goes.
So, you know, so let's see what happens, you know. Yeah. But I was one day before we get to Super Bowl, some more I'm concerned about your Cowboys because I just realized you got Dak, Micah, and CD up for extensions.
No. Hold on. Relax, Pearly. Listen. CD is in his fourth year. We could go to fifth year or we could extend him, which we will do. Micah could bellyache all he want. We got him for one more year, and then we got to worry about paying him.
Okay.
Dak, like I mentioned earlier to you, they're gonna work an extension, which will obviously count little or next to nothing against the cap this year, and obviously toward the end of his contract, it'll be those balloon kind of payments. Zach
they're
Mon,
gonna do an extension, or they're just gonna do
He's gonna get Dak. No. Dak is gonna get the extension. Okay. Okay. Zach Martin.
Here, even get them. Just flip the contract to bonus and just leave him on the 1 year contract and then flip some of that money, save $18 million.
That is another option what I've been hearing, but that has been more smoke than mirrors than anything else.
Okay,
they're committed to Dak as far as another 3 year contract, maybe four, but or three with an option. But that will get that $69 million hit this year in salary to go down to about $19 million.
Okay.
And we got money across the board. We could restructure. Mr. Producer, grab this call for me, please. We could restructure Zach Martin. We could restructure Brandon Cooks. We could restructure several other players there that'll give us some more money as well. Those are the restructures, not the extension. Mm-hmm. Dak gets the extension. They get the restructures. We cut a few people. Michael Gallup, too. I was a big fan of Michael Gallup early on, but over the last few years, post-injury, hasn't been able to recover and get that form back. So it is what it is. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Who's this?
Hey, Nolly.
What's going on, brother?
All is well, man. Pearly.
Hey, bro.
Boy, your son joined the marsh, you done.
Well, they tell me I excommunicated from the Lakers until I get my act together. I said, listen to this young boy who I was a Laker long before he born.
Well, I know. Sound like he having a problem then, because what I hear you say, he was dealing with. Y'all got to work that out. I call concerning two things, right? One is, well, they say anything but the thing of yet, the defensive coach, coordinator.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
Hold on, let me forget the name. Let me tell you, I ain't get to know him yet. He got a good name.
He saw it?
He's got a real, I can tell you right now, hold on.
Yeah, I say it.
Where you got from?
No, it's Anthony Weaver. No, I say he got a good name because my college nickname is Earl Weaver. So his name is Anthony Weaver. He's the Ravens. He was the Ravens' assistant head coach and D-line coach.
The Ravens?
Yeah, and they had the number one defense in the league this year. So
he should be solid.
Anthony Weaver is the defensive coordinator.
For Ravens.
And the 2024 season with Mark Weaver's 20th season in the NFL, his 13th as a coach after 7 as a player.
Listen, boy, that's what we need. We need one strong defensive coach. I think I'm going to push these niggas smart. Hey, but Boyle, Naughty, what they saying about the thing? They released the picks them yet.
What you mean?
For the draft.
Yeah, they picked Chicago's picking number one, Washington picking number two.
Uh-huh. What Miami picking?
21.
And Dallas picking 24.
Dallas is getting 21?
Yep.
Oh boy. Well,
Miami's got a first, second round pick, no third or fourth round pick, a fifth, 2 6, and a 7.
They can work some magic and try to trade for more picks, or they can make the first three count and then call it a day with developmental players on the back end.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
They're probably going to go.
They're probably going to get – we're probably going to let Christian Wilkinson go because the amount of money he wants, we're not going
to
be able to sign
and
him.
And we're waiting to sign him in Dallas, just so you know.
You probably take a defensive lineman.
Hey, Carla, Wilkins big on our lesson, Dallas, you know, as a defensive tackle, as a hog money. Yeah, man.
Pearly, they ain't going to let out Christian Wilkinson, man.
No, you gone. Listen, the Dolphins, listen to this. The Dolphins are now $50 million over the salary cap. So we got to make some decisions. We got to restructure some contracts.
And
we
got to keep that nigga,
boy. Huh?
That nigga's the soul and the heart of that defensive line, man.
I know, but we can't afford him. Right now, we're in the place. We're going to have to let Howard walk. We're going to have to let Ugbah walk.
I could see Howard walking. Because I don't know what's going wrong with him this thing. Because
every time he injured
Poon, man. But,
Armstead is going to stay. They're going to restructure Armstead contract. We got to worry about Deion Elliott, Sean Elliott, or don't think of
They got to keep him.
Fangio trying to get him, and Fangio trying to get Van Noy.
In Philadelphia, yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
He's trying to get him. So we got to make some serious decisions. See, Sola on the contract. The backup to Christian Wilkinson was hurt. There's a stud defensive lineman that's going to be available. It may make sense to get the same numbers, even though Wilkinson had a great year, to get similar numbers for far less money. I mean, you could take the money and bring two or three other players in. You got to make – sometimes you got to cut some things to make the team a better team.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose the reality of it.
But I just hope whatever they do this season that they make plenty sense, like how they made sense last season. But – concerning the All-Star, what the deal is that Steph here make the thing of mine? Steph here make the starting lineup.
Huh? He made the starting lineup because he didn't get vote to make the starting lineup.
So who they get? I know they get the fella from, the fella from OKC.
Shai-Gilgeous Alexander. They got LeBron. They got, let me pull that up real quick because we almost got to get to the break. But let me pull that up real quick.
AD is there as well.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the guard.
I can tell you right now, LeBron James, Zion Williamson, Nikolai Jokic, Steph. Sorry. My bad. That's my bad. I had the wrong year. That's last year. All right. let me get him this year. LeBron James, Jokic, Kevin Durant, Doncic, and Shai-Gilgeous Alexander are the starting five.
Who the boy is it? Doncic?
Luka Doncic. They got LeBron, they got Nikolai, they got Kevin Durant, they got Luka, and they got Shai-Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah, I see. Steph couldn't make that lineup, though.
Pretty solid one.
Not with Luka and that boy.
No. Good stuff, though. Carla, we got to get to the break now. Yeah. Always good to hear from you, my brother.
Yeah, man. You all have a blessed one.
Check us tomorrow, man. Be safe. Party, we got to get to the break because Nick Wright taking us home, breaking it down. Who's better? Is it Mahomes or is it Purdy? And who can win the Super Bowl?
Interesting. Very interesting.
We'll see you tomorrow. I want to see how Nick Wright bring it, man.
I can be right there and see what's happening. But that before I go, my girlfriend got off last night, 14-10-6. Just want to say that.
Bye, Purdy. We'll talk tomorrow. Bye. I'm happy for you.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip.
Struggling to repay your loan?
Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy and spicy is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games,
we putting Bahamian's voice guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Just because they were on sale, Max bought things that he and his friend really didn't need. Hungry for deals? Let KFC satisfy your cravings before you do something crazy. Get a KFC 6-piece value deal with 6 pieces of juicy fried chicken, 3 orders of crispy fries, and 3 buttery biscuits, all for only $20. Order your new favorite deal online with Messenger or WhatsApp Hi to 557-3663 to start your KFC order today. Nobody does value like KFC, and it's finger-licking good.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
And recently, Steve Wilkes specifically called out the performance against Goff and the Lions, where Detroit ended up with more passing yards and more rushing yards. Take a listen.
Collectively, as a team, I can tell you, as a defense, it's unacceptable. All right, and we talked about that. I wish I could tell these guys on play 4, on play 27, this is what's going to happen. You don't know. So we got to make sure that we play every down as if it's going to be the difference in the ball game. And you could see on those two particular plays, it wasn't to our standard. And those guys understand and know that. And quite honestly, it was embarrassing.
Okay. Do you expect Mahomes to have his best game of the playoffs, bro?
Well, look, there's a part of me, and this is not my pick, but there's a part of me that thinks Mahomes is going to kind of do whatever's necessary to get the win. Mm-hmm. All right, that's kind of what he's done in these playoffs. Hasn't put up huge numbers, but he's made the plays when he's had to. But I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I don't expect him to have a huge game. One, look at this graphic. He, for whatever reason, he hasn't been at his best in the Super Bowls. You see, you know, all the other rounds, including the regular season, he's terrific. Super Bowl passer rating is very low for him.
Is that because the Bucs Super Bowl tanked it?
Well, that's one of them, but obviously the game against San Francisco, he had 2 interceptions early and came back and won it.
Philly, he had like a 130 passer rating, but he had less than 200 yards
passing. 180-some yards,
exactly.
But 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah. So there's that. But also I think if San Francisco is going to have a lot to do with this, their defense. Regular season, their defense was great against the run. Mm-hmm. Third in the league, third best. In the playoffs, for whatever reason, they have not been able to stop the run. We know they gave up almost 200 rushing yards to Detroit and mm-hmm. almost 150 to Green Bay. If I think initially Kansas City's strategy will be to run the ball and see if they're successful with Isaiah Pacheco running the ball. If he's successful and they get a stop or two on the first few possessions for San Francisco and then they get a lead, I think it could be similar to – I don't think they'll be as stagnant offensively as they were against Baltimore, but I think it could be similar in that they're running the ball. Mahomes is making, you know, short passes here and there. And so I think Pacheco could have a big game, and Mahomes only may throw for 230 yards or something.
Sounds like you're picking the Chiefs.
You'll see in a couple of days.
We're all going to end up on the right side of this game. I'm confident of it. So here's the thing. I want to talk about the San Francisco defense and then Mahomes. You guys alluded to it. The Chiefs defense has been facing kind of escalating difficulty in quarterbacks, and now it's about to plummet. So Tua into Josh Allen, into Lamar, and now Purdy, who is worse than Josh Allen and Lamar, but I believe better than Tua. I think you believe it, and you both believe that. The Niners dealing with a totally different situation. Jordan Love in his first career playoff game to Jared Goff, now up the rocket ship to Patrick Mahomes. And the Niners defense, to Brew's point, and we can show it to you, this postseason has been bad. And so, especially in comparison to their other playoff runs under Kyle Shanahan, where they were far better from a rush defense standard, a total yardage standard, and, of course, a points per game standard. And then there is the Patrick Mahomes element. And this is why I expect it. Because the greatest players in sports history, their seasons and their careers very often have storylines. And what better way for the worst season of Patrick Mahomes' career, the worst offense he's ever been a part of, for that season to end with the best Super Bowl he's ever played. Which, to Brew's point, first Super Bowl against the Niners, struggled for three quarters and then was amazing in the fourth. The Bucs game was getting his ass kicked the entire game. And the Eagles game had, you know, completion percentage and touchdowns and passer rating were great, but less than 200 yards total passing. A start-to-finish masterpiece. And this is where, Wilds, I will take it upon myself to once again be the sports media ombudsman and keep everyone honest. Because all year long, what is this week, Wilds?
Well, it's never a doubt
week. It's never a doubt week. But for the rest of the sports media, it was nothing but doubts week.
Oh,
or no, year, pardon me.
Oh, okay.
And all year long, you know what a common refrain was? If Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl with this team, it'll be the greatest accomplishment of his career. Right. If Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl with this team, it will cement him amongst the legends of the game. We heard it all year long from people who didn't want to believe any of it and was using it actually, I'll give Patrick a fake compliment to say why the Chiefs can't do it. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And the Chiefs, by the way, I think 8 or 9 consecutive playoff games have scored on their opening possession. And they have those opening possessions, Brew, they have been throwing the football. They've been leaning on the run, different parts. But that opening script, even in the negative 30 degree game, remember, it was 3 straight passes to show them they could do it.
Okay. Finally, let's check in on the 49ers' social media. I don't know if you're on social media, but you should check this out. Posted this clip against all odds and won dice. I like to say dice. Even if it's just one.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, granted, this might be a play on words since the Super Bowl's in Las Vegas, but the 49ers have been Super Bowl favorites since December and are favorites in this game, so the against all odds thing struck us as odd.
Well, they're the first team in 7 years to be favored in every single game of the season. All right, they have literally been favored in every single game of the season. And in fact, like, We can show you the teams in NFL history who have been favored the most. And so this Niners team is going to tie the 2021 Chiefs for most games favored in a season. Now, none of those teams, oddly, won the Super Bowl, so something to keep in mind. Also, I hate to burst everyone's bubble here, but there is an underdog in this game, and his name is Patrick Mahomes. So you're going to squint. I'm going to show you some wilds that's going to blow your mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
Since Purdy took over, Mahomes has been underdog. Mahomes has been an underdog 3 times in the last 3 weeks. Purdy's been an underdog once. Once in his career. It was the game he got knocked out of, by the way, on the road in Philly. Mahomes has been an underdog in 4 of his last 5 playoff games, and it would have been 5 of 6 if not for late line movement in the AFC title game last year against Cincy when they opened as an underdog. So there is an underdog in this game, and the Niners, try as they might, can't play that card because they are as favored as any team over the course of a year in NFL history. They have a quarterback who is invited to the MVP ceremony, yet the discussion around him is there's a guy on TV in New York who's mean to him, so let's all cry about it. The Chiefs are the underdogs. Yeah. The Chiefs are the team with a broken offense. The Chiefs are the team that couldn't go on the road to win. The Chiefs are the team that was definitely going to lose to Baltimore. And the Chiefs are the team that's underdog to San Francisco.
But he wants to be the underdog.
But look, they literally are, though.
They're defending champs.
Look, if you just go from this season and these playoffs, against all odds does fit the Chiefs more. Because Most people had written them off. What, they were, what, 500 essentially over the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. As you said, they like what they've done in these playoffs, hardly anyone except you like thought they could do. All right, so I will give them that.
Not on the show?
I don't know where you were.
I'm in Chiefs Kingdom.
All right. But here's the thing, Nick. The Niners, and I get it, they had the most Pro Bowlers, they had the most All-Pros, you know, all of that stuff, right? And as you said, they've been favored all year. But where it does fit them is they are starting Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback. So, I mean, that's a big deal. I don't care what he's done since then. He's Mr. Relevant. And as I said, only two other players, Kurt Warner and Tom Brady, and we're not ready to put him in that class yet. They're the only two that have won a Super Bowl in their first years as starters. So he's is he going to do that too?
But bro,
so it fits Brock Purdy.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't fit the team. Really?
Really?
Against, hold on. Mr. Irrelevant, bro, it doesn't fit him?
Listen, I'm not trying to spoil later in the show, but about a half hour from now, we are going to have a question. Who had the better season, Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy? And I...
Un compasión. Nah. Y wow.